So now we are one off. We're not aligned with the Kriya Satora of Eretz Yisrael. And the question is that how do you solve that? Because ideally we would like that all of Knesset Yisrael is leaning the same Parshas HaShavua. Kdei lachlo kavod Eretz Yisrael, we should try to go ahead and do catch up as early as we possibly can. And somehow we don't do that. We don't do that. If I were to ask you that what would the simple solution be, it just sounds too obvious that no, that this coming Shabbos we should lay in Achrei Mos and Kedoshim. And in Eretz Yisrael, they're going to lay in Kedoshim. And guess what? Everyone is aligned. Everything is all said. No? All the shaylas of the Bnei Yeshiva and certain yeshivas, it's still Ben Hazmanim. No, they go back to Eretz Yisrael already after Shabbos. Everyone is good to go. No? You're not missing any parshios and everything is aligned. And for some strange reason, we don't do that. We don't do that. No? We don't combine Achrei Mos and Kedoshim. We have another opportunity. We could combine Bahar and Bechukosai. We don't do that. We have a third opportunity. We could combine Chukas and Balak. And we don't do that. And all of a sudden, you know, Mamish, the end of the summer. Now we're already in Chodesh Av. Guess what? We're going to combine Matos and Masai. And guess what? Now months later, we're going to readjust, we're going to realign with Eretz Yisrael. So isn't that unusual? Isn't that unusual? Now that months pass by, and here we are, that we're always one off in terms of the Kriya Satora, and there seem to be the simplest of solutions. Now immediately, just combine Achrei Mos and Kedoshim, and we will be good to go. No? So why not? Why not exactly? No? So this is not my kasha. This is a Tshuvas Maharit. So take a look. Chelek Beis Siman Daled. The Tshuvas Maharit writes the following. Why is it that we don't combine Achrei Mos and Kedoshim? So he points out the Sugya and Megillah and Daf Lamed Aleph Mendez. Ooh, and the Tosus. Tosus is bothered by the following question. That you know what? Rosh Hashanah doesn't fall out on Shabbos. Yom Kippur this year does not fall out on Shabbos. So you know what? We have two Shabbosos in between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot. If you have two Shabbosos in between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, so certain parshios have to be combined, and certain parshios have to be separated. So our options would be, is you know what? We could separate Matos and Masai, good. Or we could separate Nitzav and Ve'elech. You know what we do? We combine Matos and Masai, and we separate Nitzav and Ve'elech. So this is Tosus Kasha, the very end of the Sefer Megillah, Lamed Aleph Mudbeis. That Shalva Beis Midrash of Shor Rabbeinu Nissim. Why should we do that? You have two very long parshios of Matos and Masai, and you have two very, very short parshios of Nitzav and Ve'elech. Why not combine the short ones and separate the long ones? Why is it that we don't do that? Why do we separate Nitzav and Ve'elech? That's the kasha that Tosus raises. So Tosus writes a stunning answer. Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph Mabei. That's exactly the theme of the Tosus. There's a Takana says. The Takana says the Toch is found twice in Chumash. And you have to lay in the Tochacha at the right time. You have to lay in the Tochacha before the Yom Tov of Shavuos. And you have to lay in the Tochacha before Rosh Hashanah. That was a Takana Sezer. That the Brachos and Klalos of Toras Kohen and Vayikra have to be before Shavuos. And the Brachos and Klalos, right, the Chumash Dvarim and Kisavo, that has to be before Rosh Hashanah. One can certainly understand that that's an appropriate moment to lay in the Brachos and Klalos. Tichlo Hashanah v'Kiloseha, Tachlo Hashanah v'Rechoseha. To an extent, the same theme is true when it comes to Shavuos as well. Before a time of Kabbalah Satora, you want to go into lane, right? These parshios. So Tosus says that's exactly the answer. That's one teretz that Tosus gives. You know, we find that the brachos and kolos begin in Kisavo, but they extend to Parshas Nitzavim. Parshas Nitzavim is Uduvachar Tavachayim. No? Parshas Yisavim v'shavta Hashem Elokecha. We want to make sure to lay in that before Rosh Hashanah. That's why we have to separate Nitzav Ve'elech. Because if you're going to go ahead and combine, then how exactly would that work? We'll be delayed a week. You know what that means? We're going to separate that matos and masay. We're going to combine nitzam ve'elech. When will we be delaying nitzam ve'elech? Shabbos Shuva? That's too late. We have to lay kisava nitzavim Rosh Hashanah. So if we're going ahead and combine them and separate the earlier ones, it would push things off a week. And guess what? We wouldn't be going into Rosh Hashanah with that proper sequence of kisavo nitzavim. So Tosfos writes, that's the secret. That's why we go ahead and combine long parshios and we separate the shorter parshios. So now nitzam is right before Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos Shuva is Parshas Ha'ilah. Well, that's what Tosfos writes. Okay. Mari takes it a step further. That same Takanas Ezra, is you have to lay the brachos and klalos prior to Shuas. Realize what a chiddush that was. You know, for us, Chazal so exquisitely arranged the Seder Parshios, sometimes you don't even notice it. No? In my show, we always make an announcement. No? That realize that this Shabbos is Kriyas HaTorah is a special Takanas Ezra. It's a Gemara Megillah on Daf Lamed Aleph. There are Makoros, even in Rishonim, that, you know, they didn't always lay the old Minhag Eretz Yisrael a full Parsha. They used to lay a third of a Parsha, no? Which would mean that they weren't holding at these points before Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah. Guess what? They would take out a separate Sefer Torah, and they would lay like we do Parsha Zohar. This is a separate Takanas Ezra. Chazal arranged the Seder HaKriya so magnificently that everything works out so well, but you know, sometimes you don't even realize that this is a special Kriya Satara. So this is true when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, this is true when it comes to Shavuos as well. Oh, so that's exactly what the Ma'ariv writes. So imagine, if we were to go ahead and do Lein Achar Mos and Kedoshim together. You know, again, that would infringe on the Takanas Ezra. Because that would mean we would have Parshas B'Chukosai, and then Parshas B'Midbar, and then Parshas Nosa, and then Shavuos. Weeks would go by, between the Kriyas HaTorah of the Tochacha and the Yantaf of Shavuos. And the Takana says that it has to be Samuch. You have to juxtapose those two. That's the Chiddush that the Ma'ariv writes. So that's why, B'davka, we see to it that we're not going to catch up right now. Because the way it's set up right now is that we're laying the Chukosai close to the Shavuos, which was part of the Takanas Ezra. Enoch Inami, in Eretz Yisrael, there is a gap. In Eretz Yisrael, they don't have that option. But we have an option. We're going to make an adjustment that is going to broaden the window. That the Ma'ariv writes would not be appropriate because of the Takanas Ezra. So we're not going to combine Achir Mos and Kedosh, we're not going to combine Bahar B'Chukosai. Well, and then the Ma'ariv writes the following line, and once you're ready, we're not going to combine now, so therefore we follow the typical Seder HaParshios. Okay, that's the Kiddush that the Ma'ariv writes, a fascinating Kasha and a fascinating dance. Okay, perhaps another possible approach. We don't give enough attention to the Haftorahs. But, you know, we should. You know, the Haftorahs, you know, are so striking. Time should be spent always assessing what is the link between the Parsha and the Haftorah, and why is it that the Chachamim chose this particular Haftorah? Why indeed that's true? That's always something that one should be mindful of. And you know what, when you look at the Haftorahs of Parshas Achrei Mos and Parshas Kedoshim, you probably can't find a greater contrast between those two Haftorahs. When you look in the Haftorah of Parshas Achrei Mos, that comes from Amos, Perek Tes, you know, that Parsha, right, speaks about our inherent link, our everlasting connection with Eretz Yisrael and Geula, Sukkas David, Hanofeles, Shavti Yeshvus, Ami Yisrael. Right? It speaks about our kesher with Kadosh Baruch Hu, Eretz Yisrael, Nitzchius, the Haftarah, that Eretz Yisrael will always be ours. When you look at the Haftarah, Parshas Kedoshim, there from Yechezkel, Perachav Beis, the contrast is something which is stunning, stunning. That Haftarah speaks about Tovos Yerushalayim. That speaks about the unfortunate Chatayim that took place in Eretz Yisrael, and specifically in Yerushalayim. Whereas the Haftarah of Achrimos speaks about the loftiness of Eretz Yisrael, the Haftarah of Kedoshim is one of the most frightening Haftarahs you can imagine. One of the most frightening Haftarahs you can imagine. No? It speaks about Toeva that existed in Yerushalayim. And I'll tell you something which is striking. No? Do you ever remember leaning the Haftarah Parshas Kedoshim? He's not with us, no? He would, but none of you would, no? The last time we leaned the Haftarah Parshas Kedoshim, you know, was in 1997. You know, it's pretty striking, no? Pretty surprising, right? In 2 years, we're going to lean the Haftarah Parshas Kedoshim. In 2 years. You know, years, decades go by where we don't lean the Haftarah Parshas Kedoshim. Something which is like, it's like unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And those of you who are any actuaries, you can kind of do them. The only time you lay in the Haftarah Parshas Kedoshim is when a Hebrew year has 383 days and the year starts on Shabbos. If you don't meet those two factors, you don't have the Haftarah Parshas Kedoshim. It's like really unusual. And the Rama writes that this is not coincidental. This is not coincidental. This is deliberate. This is deliberate. Now that Chazal always saw to it that we are going to lay in the Haftarah of Parshas Achrimos and not lay in the Parsha of Kedoshim. Because sometimes it's necessary, you have to be mindful of tragedy, the Tovos Yerushalayim, but that's not something that a person will repeat time after time after time after time. That can't be like part of your, like Avodas Hashem, the criticism of, no? That's why the Rama writes in Tav Chaches, whenever Achrimos and Kedoshim are together, that even though we always lain, right, the second Parshas Haftarah, this is the noted exception, Achrimos and Kedoshim, whenever they're together, we always lain the Haftarah Parshas Achrimos. Mishneh Berurah writes, in Sivkot Nechavav, that's because the Haftarah Maskeres Tovos Yerushalayim. It's based on not the exact case, but it's based on the sugya and Megillah and Daf Chafei Amud Beis, that do not mention, right, with regularity, criticism Tovos Yerushalayim, something which is stunning. It's very layered to go ahead and to lay in this Haftarah, because after all, that whenever the Parshas are together, so we're going to lay in the Haftarah Parshas Achrimos. And let's assume, for example, the Parshas are separate. But you can't lane the Haftarah Parshas Achrimos on the Shabbos of Achrimos. Let's assume, for example, the Shabbos, right? Parshas Achrimos. But the Shabbos is Machar Chodesh. So we're not going to lane the Haftarah Parshas Achrimos. So guess what? The next Shabbos, we're going to lane the Haftarah Parshas Achrimos. Let's say Parshas Achrimos falls out on Rosh Chodesh. Same thing's going to be true. We're going to lay in the Haftarah of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, of course, the main Hamaora, but the next Shabbos then is going to be, right, the Parshas Achrimos. Let's assume, for example, that Parshas Achrimos often is Shabbos HaGadol. So we're going to lay in the Haftarah for Shabbos HaGadol. And guess what? In the next opportunity, we're going to lay in the Haftarah of Achrimos. And we're going to constantly laying the Haftarah Parshas Achrimos, and we're going to skip the Haftarah Parshas Kedoshim. That's why Parshas Kedoshim is so seldomly heard, so seldomly laying. It's something which is like striking. You don't even realize this. That Gemara Megillah Daf Chaf Hei that says always avoid doing so was talking about someone else. The Gemara says that there was one who laying the Haftarah in the presence of Rabbi Eliezer, and he leaned a different Haftarah, not this one, Yechezkel Tezayin. And Yechezkel Tezayin also is critical of Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Eliezer was very upset that, why did you choose that Haftarah? That Ad shata bodek tovos Yerushalayim, before you start assessing the tovos Yerushalayim, you know what? That seyu bedok tovos imcha. Why don't you look internally before you start criticizing Yerushalayim? That's the phrase of the Gemara. No? So therefore, as like a mashal, if the Gemara says this about Yechezkel Tezayin, it should be true about Yechezkel Chaf Aleph, which in rare instances the Haftorah Parshas Kedosh. So it's a stunning contrast on both ends that the Haftorah Parshas Achrimos Amos Perktes is something that is so lofty that describes our connection to Eretz Yisrael. And the contrast, the Parshas Kedoshim, right, is critical of Eretz Yisrael. So in such a case, obviously, the preference is clear. And one we always lane, the other we hardly ever lane at all, hardly ever lane. So that's a fascinating Kiddush. Number one is we try to avoid Parshas Kedoshim. But in addition to that, we always look for an opportunity to lane the Haftorah Parshas Achrimos. That's clear. We always switch off in all those cases. In all those cases that I mentioned. Why is that true? Because Parshas Achrimos speaks about the lasting character and the integrity and the magnificence of Eretz Yisrael. So the following possibility. Let's assume, for example, that we would combine the Shabbos, Parshas Achrimos and Kedoshim. This is a chiddush several years ago that Rabbi Yoel Soloveitchik said in the yeshiva, that if we would have combined this Shabbos, Parshas Achrimos and Kedoshim, what would the Haftorah be? Machar Chodesh. Always comes out Machar Chodesh with its configuration. No? And the next Shabbos would be Parshas Emor. We wouldn't be laning Parshas Kedoshim, the Haftorah, but we would be skipping the Haftorah of Parshas Achrimos. We'd be skipping the Haftorah of Parshas Achrimos. Why would we be skipping the Haftorah of Parshas Achrimos? A little bit unusual, no? In order, Lachlo Kavod Eretz Yisrael. We want to align ourselves with Eretz Yisrael. We want to show that we're subordinate, we're secondary too. So we're going to skip like the Haftorah that deals with, right, the loftiness, the magnificence, right, of Eretz Yisrael. That the Chachamim were not willing to do. So therefore, you know, it was worth paying the price of being one off with the Kriya of Eretz Yisrael in order to go ahead and to lane this Haftorah Parshas Achrimos. So perhaps that's part of the Chiddush itself. And here, just to go a step further, and what would happen if we were to go ahead and to combine the Parshios of Baharim B'Chukosa? So good. Don't combine these, but combine Baruch HaKosa. Align yourself with Eretz Yisrael. So what would happen in that case if we combine Baruch HaKosa? We would then skip the Haftorah of Parshas Bahar. We would skip the Haftorah of Parshas Bahar. Guess what? What's the Haftorah of Parshas Bahar? No? They're also not coincidental, no? The Haftorah of Parshas Bahar is from Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Beis. That's the Lamdish of Parsha, Shtaros, no? Many of the Dine Shtaros are learned from Yirmiyahu days. What happened? That was the time of the siege of Yerushalayim. Yirmiyahu Navi is imprisoned. That's the theme of the Haftorah. And Yirmiyahu tells Knesset Yisrael that, you know what, we're going to be exiled from Eretz Yisrael, but you know what? It's only a temporary condition. We're going to return because our link to Eretz Yisrael is something which is everlasting. It's something which is enduring. So that's where Yirmiyahu tells, you know what, you have to have the Sefer HaMikna. No? Make sure you have all the proper documentation of every piece of karka in Eretz Yisrael that is ours, because after all, temporarily we're leaving Golos Bavel, but we're going to be returning. And you know what? We have to now go ahead and present the shtaros, because this is something that is only temporary, and we are going to repossess Eretz Yisrael, because our link to Eretz Yisrael is something that is absolutely, absolutely internal. And so many dinim of shtaros, no? That we spent that much time on, no? Are rooted in Yirmiyahu Lamed Beis, no? And that's the context of that Haftorah. It's something which is striking. So imagine that, you know what? In order lachlo kavod Eretz Yisrael, We're going to skip that haftarah. We're going to skip the haftarah Parshas Bahar. The haftarah Parshas Bahar, which speaks about our eternal connection to Eretz Yisrael, that even in Golos, you always have to have an eye on, and make sure that even in Golos, that you're going to be able to go ahead and to know what is your ancestral plot, and it's all documented in the Shtar, because after all, in haste, right, we're going to go ahead and to return. Right? And you know what? There's one more haftarah. There's one more haftarah that also speaks about the beauty, the splendor, our everlasting connection with Eretz Yisrael. And guess what? That's the haftarah of Parshas Chukas. Shof Demir Aleph, Yiftach, no? Yiftach in the Melech Amon, where Yiftach describes that, you know what, to the Umos HaOlam, that, what do you mean that this land is our land? And if you think that you can take it away from us, any conquest is only temporary, because ultimately we have an eternal kesher to Eretz Yisrael. That's the Haftarah Parshas Chukas. If you're going to combine Chukas and Balak, you're going to be missing that Haftarah Chukas. And guess what? It's like a stunning observation that all of the Haftarahs that would have been skipped with every other possible combination, right, somehow would not be doing justice to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the Chachamim purposely did not use those moments as an opportunity to skip, even if we could align ourselves with the Kriyas HaTorah of Eretz Yisrael. And what happens when I come to Matos Nasei? What happens then? Oh, so you know what? That's clear, no? The Haftarahs of Matos Nasei now, all of a sudden now, are a completely different cycle entirely. No? A completely different cycle entirely. That's where we begin the Shlosha de Parnusa, the Shiva de Nechemta. And therefore, there, the Haftorah is not substituted, not affected. That's going to be the Haftorah regardless of separation, regardless of combination. After all, the Shlosha de Parnusa are Pinchas and Matos and Masa and Dvarim. Okay, so that, the Haftorah is not going to be affected by separation or combination. And therefore, that's the time. The Chachamim said now, one realigns themselves with Eretz Yisrael. Right? So part of the answer, right, no doubt, is that point of, you know, the Tshuvas Maharit, that recognized that indeed there was that Takana Sezer, which no doubt, something which is striking, but realizing, look at the themes of the Haftorah, it's something that like jumps. No? And therefore, it's true that we are one off for several months, but that would be too much of a price to pay to be able to skip bedafka, those haftorahs that speak about. It's fascinating insight in terms of the nature of the Torah Parshas Kedoshim. And at the same time, you know, it's a Musar Haskel, just in terms of, you know, in terms of criticism. You know, does one have a right to be critical of Eretz Yisrael? You know, the answer is yes, but, no? Yes, but in a very measured way. You know, once every few decades, no? A person can go ahead and do so, no? One has to be very, very careful, very, very careful of doing so. I always point out, especially if you're in Chutz Lartz, no? You have to be very, very careful, you know? Very careful. You know, there's a Gemara Psachim at Abches on the Beis. The Gemara says the following, right? Drasha, memor of Rami. No? Rami says the following chiddush, that you know what, that if a person has kark in Eretz Yisrael, then yes, then you're ol regel. And if ain't no karka, ain't no ol regel. You know? Well, why exactly is that true? Well, why do you have to have kark in Eretz Yisrael in order to be ol regel? Rami quotes the pasuk in Shmos Lamed Aleph, because the Torah tells us the following, that you know what, you're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. You're going to leave your land. You're going to be older, Ego. Everything's empty, no? Everything's empty. Your house is bare, no? Everybody knows that everybody's out of here, no? Everybody's on vacation. No one is at home. So the Torah assures us, incredible, no? Lama dalet chav dalet, no? Lo yach marishas artzacha. Lo yach marishas artzacha. You're going to come back, everything's going to be untouched, no? No one is going to lo yachma. What does lo yachma mean? No one's going to seize, no? No one's going to seize your karka. No one's going to break into your house. No one's going to seize your karka. That's fascinating. Now that's a theme for a separate shir. Now what exactly is this sort of lo sachma? Right? the Ben Ezra. Now, what's the Isra of Lo Sachmo? Right? Is it Gezel? Right? Seizure? No. Or is it no? Coveting. Coveting means like it's an Isra Machshava. No? It's an Isra Machshava. The Rambam. It's a Lav Shem B'Maisa. It's a Lav Shem B'Maisa. What exactly is the meaning of Lo Sachmo? Don't desire or don't seize. Don't seize. You know? Sometimes Lo Sachmo means a desire. Here, the Ezra points out in this pasuk, Lo Yachmid Shasarcha does not mean that your property is going to be so undesirable that no one's going to want it. It means no one's going to seize it. No? That's his briar from the pasuk that means seizure. Fascinating Rambam, not the beginning of Chukas Ganeva. The Rambam writes that there's no malchus. There's no malchus for this Isra of Lo Sachmo. Why? Because it's a Lav She'im B'Maisa. Ooh, Isra Machshava. And then the Rambam writes that, you know what? That you only vibe Lav Lo Sachmo ad she'ikach es ha'chepet shechama. When you seize the object. That's what the Rambam writes. You only vibe Lo Sachmo when you seize the object, but there's no malchus because it's a Lav She'im B'Maisa. That's what the Ravid writes, no? Paragalaf of the Geneva. Does that make any sense? No? You only write this Sir Lo Sachmo when you seize, and it's a Lav She'im B'Maisa. You want to tell me Lo Sachmo is seizure? Okay. You want to tell me it means coveting? Okay. But how can you say that seizure, but no Malchus, because Lav She'im B'Maisa? How do you put those two together? It's not so clear. This requires like a lengthy shir. Rav Soloveitchik once said the bottom line as follows. You know, you're in shir for some strange reason looking out the window. And, that car passes by, right? The new Jaguar, the Bugatti, you know? And for like a fleeting instant, you know what? Ooh, I'd like that, you know? That's Lo Sachmo. That's Mamish Nisa Dereis Lo Sachmo. So maybe it's not appropriate, but that's not this Nisa Dereis Lo Sachmo. How do you measure when the desire is intense enough to validate this Rav Lo Sachmo? How do you measure? What's the gauge? What's the gauge? What's the barometer? What's the thermometer? No? What's the gauge? That's the Chiddush Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. No? You only vibe Lo Sachmo when there's an intense chimur. An intense... A lot of times, you have a fleeting thought. That's it. So, you have a fleeting thought, and then you press the reset button. No? You're good. No? The Chiddush of the Rambam is that you only write the Isra of Lo Sachmo, it's an Isra Machshava, many writes the Rambam, but when the Chimud is intense, how do you determine whether it's intense or whether it's not? You know, the answer is when it leads to action, when it galvanizes you, it leads to action. You act on it. Maybe a lot of people in life, they want this, they want that, you know what, but in 2 seconds they get over it. You don't get over it, and it manifests itself. That's an indicator, that's a gauge. So that's what the Rambam writes. It's not a stira to assume that the nature of the Isser is an Isser Machshava, even though you're only going to validate the Isser when the Machshava somehow triggers a response. No? It's not a stira to assume that you need some action, but still, its nature inherently is love. She'im B'Maisa. Love She'im B'Maisa. That's fascinating just simply in terms of the Pasuk, Rishmo Salam Adal, Layach Benishas Artsukha. But that's the drush of Ravami. It doesn't mean that this is a bracha. It means it's a tnai, no? Pashup Shana Pasuk means the following. I give you a bracha. You're going to be ol regel. You're nervous. You're going to come back. My house has been empty for a while. Don't worry about it. Everything will be intact. Okay? Ravami interprets it, right? More than that, no? It's a condition. You're only chayiv and ali le regel if you're leaving your property. It's a condition for Ali L'Rega, no? And therefore, Avami says, P'sochen Avches, no? Kol Adam Sheish Lo Karka O L'Rega. And Ein Lo Karka, Ein O L'Rega. Wow, that's, why in the world should that be? Why in the world should that be? So I think part of the Musar Haskel is exactly at this point. You know what? A person wants the privilege of Ali L'Rega, okay? But you know what? There's certain people that are entitled to that privilege. That privilege means that they're putting themselves at risk. They're like they're at ground zero. No, that they're putting themselves at risk. You have karka, and you're following what the Torah tells us, and you're leaving your karka. you know, you might be uncomfortable about that, leaving your karka, no? But you know what? The Torah says, Layach mishar tzecha. You're putting yourself at risk. Let's say a person who doesn't have karka. So his alila regel is without any mesiras nefesh, no? It's without that element of risk. You know, it's the chavaya, it's the experience of, well, let's go to the mikdash and see what's happening. No, but without that element, that's the chiddush of Rami, that there's certain people that are entitled, the chiv of alila regel. But that chiv regel is hand in hand with a recognition that, you know what, they're being mosir nefesh. I often think that's an important mosir haska. Are people entitled to? The answer is yes. But you know what? The people who are at risk, I always feel the people like you and Eretz Yisrael who are facing sometimes these nisyonos, they're entitled to a much broader, louder opinion than kind of we are, where, you know, we're not there. We're kind of bystanders. Yeah, we have a chelek, no doubt. But you have to be careful. You have to be careful before leveling criticism. Now, criticism has to be incredibly, incredibly measured. Right? Once every 30 years, that person can be critical of Eretz Yisrael. Otherwise, no, it's Parsha Sachrimos, it's the bounty, it's the beauty, I told the new Talmidim the stunning comment that is quoted in the name of the Gaon. When you look in the very beginning of this Parsha, Parsha Sachrimos, there are a few things that are very, very unusual. Now, if I were to ask you, what is the theme? Parsha Sachrimos, you tell me, obviously, it's Avodas Yom HaKippurim. That's the Kriya Satara of Yom Kippur, Avodas Yom HaKippurim. So, three just simple avodas. Now, number one is, well, go ahead, were you Mavr Sedra yet? Start, no? So start reading and reading and reading and reading. You go through the first Aliyah, you go through Levi. There's no mention of Yom Kippur. You finally get to the end of Shlishi, right? The end of Perek Tezayin. All of a sudden, the Torah says, you know what? And you kind of take a step back and say, like, what? Like, wait, what have we been speaking about up until now? No? All of a sudden now, in the end of Shlishi, the Torah says, and you know what? Guess what? Now, when it comes to the day of Yom Kippur, this is what you should do. Well, of course, this is what you should do. This is what we've been discussing the entire time, no? Question two, I'll tell you, is as follows. Right, the Torah tells us, "Va'al yavo b'chol eisel hakodesh." Va'al yavo b'chol eisel hakodesh. You know what? Don't do this every day. Well, of course, don't do this every day. What do you mean, don't do this every day? Imagine you're leaning parshas by the parsha of Yovel. The Torah says, "And don't do this every day. It's once in 50 years." Of course, you don't do this every day. Yom Kippur is once a year. Once a year, we're privileged to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So why does the Torah have to say Va'al Yavo B'chol Eis El HaKodesh? Why is that necessary at all? And perhaps what's most difficult, not just Diyukim, most difficult, when you look in Perek Tezayin, in Pasuk Chav Gimel, the Torah describes the Hotzah's Kafo Machta, that the Kohen Gadol goes in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he removes the spoon and the ladle. So Rashi just makes that stunning comment that Ein Zeh Mekomo Shal Mikra Zeh. This is not in the right order. This really doesn't belong here. When you study the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, this doesn't belong here. No? What do you mean? That the Otsos Kafa Machta is later. It's after the Kohen Gadol offers Olasa, his Ola, and Olasa Am. Then there's the Otsos Kafa Machta. But not here. Not here. So Rashi says, okay, don't be so surprised. The Pasuk is like, out of order. That ain zemakomo, but what does that mean? What does that mean that ain zemakomo shemikris? What does that mean? How exactly does that work? So take a look in the very end of the Sefer Chachmasah, the very end of the Sefer Chachmasah. It quotes the Chiddush of the Gaon. The Gaon writes to take a look at the Medrash Rabba, and the Medrash Rabba here writes the name of Rabbi Yudin Bar Simon, that there was something unique to Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen had a unique privilege that, you know what, no one else had. Aaron HaKohen was able to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim at will. At will. Wow. Not just on Yom Kippur. At will. Does that mean that Aaron HaKohen could just walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? No. You have to position yourself. You have to prepare. There's a certain avoda which is necessary as a hachana for knisa l'kodesh hakodashim. What is that hachana? What is that avoda? You know what the answer is? Beginning of Parsha, Sarchimas. Bezos yavo aron ha-kodesh. This is what Aaron HaKohen had to do to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's the theme of the Parsha. So we read about this, right? What Aaron HaKohen had to do in order to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. All of a sudden you get to the end of Shlishi. The Torah tells us this great Chiddush. What Aaron HaKohen had to do to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, this is what I want you to do, Ludoros, on Yom Kippur, when the typical Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What was true then is true now. But this was a jump. It wasn't just completely a harasha, that this was only true when it comes to Aaron HaKohen. It was true of Aaron HaKohen because Aaron HaKohen is able to enter at will. But you know what? Now we, yes, we're limited. Our Kohen Gadol only enters Yom HaKippurim, but you know what? Follow the same script. Now the same avodah indeed is necessary. And that's why only after the description of the avodah. Now the Torah tells us, you know what? B'chodesh, Hashim, Esel HaChodesh. This is indeed what you should do. So that's why the parsha doesn't begin with Yom Kippur. Okay? That's the meaning of then, V'ayavo b'choleis al HaKodesh. Obviously for us, V'ayavo b'choleis al HaKodesh, we only have this opportunity once a year, but not true of Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen was able to answer the Kodesh HaKadoshim at will, but the Torah tells you a caveat. V'ayavo b'choleis al HaKodesh. But you know what? Careful, careful. Do so very, very carefully. Do so carefully. But that was true of Aaron HaKohen. And that's what the Gaon points out as follows. You know what? The same der ha'avoda of Aaron HaKohen for the Knis LaKodesh HaKadashim, of course that's as exquisitely kesidron. Of course that's exactly what the Torah tells us. Exactly what the Torah tells us. But then the Torah jumps. And the Torah says, you know what? And this is the structure that I want you to do, Ludoros. Wait, when are we doing this? We're doing this on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, now you have to balance. There are a couple moving parts, no? There's what you have to do to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then there's the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Olas Kohen Gadol, Olas Ha'am. So that's the comment that Rashi points out. That you know what? That for Aaron HaKohen, those were the exact steps. The exact steps. But Lidoros, where now we have to factor in not only Knisa L'Kodesh HaKadoshim, but also Avodas Yom HaKippurim. So realize, for us, the Hotzos Kachol Machta is done later. Not that, you know what, the Pasuk shouldn't be here, it should be there. Of course not, no? But rather, as Lidoros, following the Malav Aaron HaKohen, there has to be an adjustment because we have to have five tefillos and Asar Kedushim, as the Avodas Yom HaKippurim requires. And that is going to mean delaying, Dotsos, Kach HaMachta. That's a pretty striking possibility. But that's what the Chachma Sadam quotes, in the name of the Gaon. It's an important Chiddush. See, with this in mind also, so imagine, it's an important Musar Haskam. Now, that Aaron HaKohen is told that you have like an incredible opportunity. You can enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim at will. This is uniquely true of Aaron Kohen Gadol. No? The highest Kedusha Saguf, right? Kohen Gadol, uniquely true of Aaron. For us, you know what? Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim. But entry into Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you know what? The Torah has to admonish Aaron HaKohen, V'ayavo b'chol eis al HaKodesh. Why exactly is that true? It's like surprising. Rashi writes that, you know what? Because this is a unique privilege, and you have to be careful. You have to be careful that the unique privilege that you have doesn't become mundane. Doesn't become routine, doesn't become stale. No? You're not rugulava. If you're going to do this like all the time, you risk losing the unique character of entry into Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's something which is like striking, no? The Pasuk in Yeshayah Chavtes, right? Mitzvah Sanashim Lamada. You have to be careful. Some of the most basic mitzvahs that we have are the daily routine. The daily routine. But, you know, there's like a risk factor, no? When it becomes part of the daily routine, you know what? That you lose that sense of Yishchashus. The Gemara says, you know what? When it comes to Kriya Samegillah, Shrei Kol HaMishtamai, no? Two people are laying in the Megillah. You can be Otsi. Because you're going to be so attentive, you're going to be so focused, even though that he's reading, that's okay. But not true when it comes to other things, no? Because, you know what, you await like the Kriya Samegillah once a year, no? Other Kriyas, that's not true. You're going to be easily distracted, no? So that's like something which is unusual, no? That's what the Navi Yeshai warns, no? Bepiv, v'sfosav, kibduni. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you honor me with lip service, and v'libo richav yimeni, but your heart's not into it. Mitzvah sanashim ulamada. So this is like a stunning example, that here you have Aaron HaKohen entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Torah tells us, Ayom HaKodesh HaKodesh, be careful. Don't take advantage of this experience to the point that you're going to lose the uniqueness, you're going to lose the beauty and the splendor of this element of Avodah. If you look at the Pirush of the Chosid Yavetz, right, in the very beginning of Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalit, there the Chassid Yavetz quotes the Pasuk in Yechezkel Memvav. Yechezkel Memvav, but take a look at that. That's one of the classic Purusha Masechus Avos, no? Chassid Yavetz. So he writes the following, that when you look in Yechezkel, Yechevel describes the vision of Beis HaMikdash. So Yechezkel Navi, like, seemingly tells you like what we would call kind of, you know, like the traffic control, you know? That there, the Navi says the following, that you know what? If you're going to enter on the Shar HaTzofon, make sure that, you know what, you leave with the Shar HaDorim. You know, everybody's coming in. Don't turn around and try to exit the same way that you entered. No, it's going to be a balagan. Now all of a sudden, you're there, you turn around, and you're going this way, or that way. No, just keep going. No, so you're going to enter at an exit here, even though we entered here. You know, so, like, why exactly is that true? And if you enter with the Shar HaNegev, make sure that you leave with the Shar HaTzofon. Why is all of that necessary? So the Chafetz Yavetz writes, that's exactly the lesson, something which is stunning. You can visit the Beis HaMikdash, you know? And the first time you're there, no doubt you're going to say that this is incredible. But you know what? In time, you're going to say, you know what, been there, done that, you know, I already saw this, you know, and you're going to lose the spectacle of what the Mikdash Hashem is supposed to represent. So that's what the Chafetz Yavetz writes. That's why Yechezkel Perek Mem tells us the following, you know, if you enter here, so make sure to leave there, not because there are 1,000 people behind you. No one's behind you, no, but you know what? Look for a new site. Look for a new opportunity. Look for a certain sense of a koach of hischashus in order to see to it that you're going to be able to, right, glean and find aspects of Os Hashem that up until now that you didn't know that it's existed. And that's something which is incredibly, incredibly important. No, Asher Anochi Metzavcha Hayom. No, V'chol Yom V'Yom Yubenecha Kechadosh. There always has to be a sense of a chidush davar, and all that. Which we do. And the notion that, you know what, that one could, you know, to say, okay, you know, I experienced that. If this was a challenge, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Aaron HaKohen that you have to be careful of what we call the Kochel Shel Hergel. No? So imagine that when it comes to other types of Avodah Hashem. The Chafetz Yavetz writes that on the Mishnah of Havimis Abek Barafar Agleihem. You know, there are probably different shittas. You probably have different rebbeim, no? You know, some rebbeim are like your buddy, no? And some rebbeim are really not your buddy, no? And like, interesting, no? That's what Chafetz Yavetz discusses, like what the role of Rebbe Talmud should be. That here it should not be buddy. It should not be buddy, you know? What it not be buddy means is probably a range, no? But like, you have to make sure that it doesn't become so familiar that, you know what, you're losing the special quality and the nature of. That's why he comments and make sure, havim yisabek v'afer agleyim, right? That it shouldn't be that, you know what, you have such free access every day that, you know what, oh, so you know, it's nothing special, it's nothing special. You know, that balance, though, is very important. Now, accessibility, but at the same time, a certain sense of reverence. In that context, that's what the Chavetz Chavis, that's why it's on that Mishnah, right, describes that the Mikdash Hashem, that's something which is pretty important, that sense of balance, that sense of balance. Okay. There's a fascinating comment of the Magen Avraham. You know, one of the mitzvos, many, many mitzvos in the parsha, you know, it's hard to know where to begin exactly, but a fascinating description of the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. And there's an interesting question. The Gilyon Rasha raises this question in Yeradei and Simen Chav Ches. It's printed in the Shulchan Aruch. I'll take a look. You know, we've discussed in the past the mitzvah tzitzis. There's a fascinating machlokas. It requires arichos. But there's a mitzvah tzitzis that certainly is true. No. But is there an iser levisha of a beged belit tzitzis? Is there an iser levisha of a beged belit tzitzis? That's a very, very heavy issue. If you want, you can take a look over Shabbos. Take a look at the Sugi Menachos Naplam Zayin. Take a look at the Mordechai. The Mordechai in the back of the Gemara Menachos. Tuf Kuf Mem Dalet. The Mordechai has the fascinating machlokas. The Rian Rabbi Nushlama. There's a mitzvah tzitzis. But is there an Isra Levisha of Dalet Kamfos Belit Tzitzis? Let's assume you have a beg in the Dalet Kamfos. And it's Shabbos. So affixing tzitzis to that garment is not an option. You can't do that on Shabbos. Okay, so there's no way I'm going to fulfill the mitzvah tzitzis. If this was chol, so affix tzitzis. If this is Shabbos, you can't affix tzitzis. So that's the issue of the reason. Is there anything wrong with wearing that baguette? You're not going to perform the mitzvah tzitzis in any case. That's not an option. Or should I say, you know what, yeah, but don't wear the beged of kamfos litzitzis. You're much better off not donning the beged than wearing the beged, because that would constitute an iser, a bittul asay, as opposed to simply an ikium asay. Is that really true? The Mordechai writes that this is a really heavy machlokas, that the rewrites it's mutter, that there's no iser levisha, and you're allowed to wear a beged of dalet kamfos litzitzis on Shabbos, because you don't have that option of affixing tzitzis. Rabbi Shlomo writes, that's not true. That's not true whatsoever. Well, there's an issur levisha, and one cannot go ahead and do so. In Simen Chav Ches of Yeradeya, that's the Simen of Kisui Adam. So there, if you take a look at the Gilyon Marsha, it's on the Daf of the Shulchan Aruch, Shlomo Eger, Gilyon Marsha, he raises the question from, right, Kisui Adam, and Parshas Achrimos. Because here the Gemara Beitz is Mufurish, the Gemara Beitz and Avches. This one I'll just leave you to think about, no? We can talk about this at greater length, just to think about, no? The Gemara Beitz and Avches is Mufurish. Let's assume, for example, it's Yantif, and we discussed that too long ago, no? Melechus Ochel Nefesh is Mutan Yantif, Shchit is Mutan Melechus Ochel Nefesh. But you know what? I don't have any dirt that was prepared Nibol Yom for the purpose of Kisui Adam. I didn't do so. So the Gemara discusses some technical details. Is it possible to access dirt, right, for the purpose of Kisui Adam? But let's assume that can't be done. You can't access the dirt. And after all, going ahead and shoveling dirt and breaking it up into small particles is an issur melacha. You're not allowed to do that on Yantif. No? Not allowed to do that on Yantif. That would be a problem of tochein that is not considered to be melacha socha nefesh, therefore that indeed would be us. So it's mufurish in the Gemara then don't do shechita. Don't do shechita. No? Lo yishchal, elim kein, yesh afar muchan mibol yom. Wow, so that's like a fascinating question that Rosh Lomelega raises. That you're not allowed to put yourself in a situation of failure to fulfill a mitzvah. You can't do shechita and all of a sudden now be caught without kisei hadam. So the answer is not that, you know, I'm not going to do kisei hadam anyways. What's wrong with doing the shechita? No, no, no. Don't do the shechita. Don't do the shechita. No? That's the opening mission. Maseches Beitzah, Beizim et Aleph, Mikvar Davches. If you have offer tichoach mibod yom, good. But if not, then not. So that's the tzarachim that Rosh Lomelega raises, right, against this view of the Ri. What's the difference between wearing a beged adar kamfos blitzitzis, which the Ri says is absolutely mutter, because you're not going to be fulfilling the mitzvah in any case. So okay, it's an ikima mitzvah. It's an ikima mitzvah. But there's nothing wrong with putting yourself in a situation of an ikima mitzvah when you're not going to be fulfilling the mitzvah in any case. But you see from the case of kisei hadam that certainly is not true. That certainly is not true. Don't put yourself in a situation that would trigger a chiyuv, regardless of whether. Oh, that's a sarachim. That's how you think about over Shabbos. No, we'll talk about it. No, is there a difference between the mitzvah of tzitzis and the mitzvah of kisei hadam? What exactly is, you know, we've discussed a maisa mitzvah, a sagavra, what is ikra b'totzah, is an ishrechetza, you know, like those hagdoras I think are very important in this context. So something to think about, take a look. That's like a known gleina marshant and printer shulchan aruch nisim lechav ches of Yaradeh. So some food for thought. Okay. Here's Hashem Sunday, well, most of the time, but Sunday's going to be early this year. Or there's a lengthy medical conference that's taking place on campus, right? And that's something that I would urge the Talmidim to come to. Some fascinating things. They're going to be Rabbanim presenting, Poskim presenting, scientists presenting, doctors presenting, and many, many different things. I'm supposed to be speaking about risk and benefit aspects of Shomer Pesach Hashem. And they were very, very gracious. They gave me 15 minutes. Everybody has 15 minutes to speak about these major topics, like in 15 minutes. So Steinberg is flying from Eretz Yisrael to speak. So I think it should be very interesting. There's sessions with Rabbanim and doctors about legalization of marijuana, whatever that is. Now that sometimes you have Sherman things that are not so nogeitosis, right? It's not that it's important, no? Josh Vakavoskar, right? Shilas that don't come up once in a while, but okay. Once in 30 years. Right? Okay, the discussion. I hope the maskana is going to be what I want it to be, otherwise, I'm going to have to get up and object. So, but I think it should be okay. I think it should be good. And but Mershon Shabbos, I think it's worthwhile. That's Kashir really early, and that program is from like 11:30 to 4 o'clock. To many, many different Kashir people who speak in Yeshiva. Okay. Mm-hmm.